Well, maybe you don't love it, but at least you know about it. Except for now, we're going to have to do this on a computer, and I'll talk in probably a bit of detail about this when we do differentiation. And so bear with me a little bit in the beginning, because there's sort of a point to doing this, and so I'll show you a little trick that we can use, and that trick goes on, and it's the same trick that we'll be using when we do integration. So curiously, when you do differentiation or integration on the computer, it looks vaguely familiar. So if we start by looking here at writing the simplest thing we can, so I write that the derivative of the function here, that's approximated by looking up in my first math book. So what they tell you is that you take the function and go a little step ahead, and then you subtract the value in its current point, and then actually the derivative here would be defined as the limit where h goes to 0, and this is, of course, not really possible on the computer. So we want to know a little bit about a formula like this, what will happen when we translate it. So if we start analyzing this by using a Taylor series, then we know that this is just f of x, and then h times the derivative, and well, then I get h squared here over 2 factorial, then the second derivative, and let's actually just include the third one as well, and then there, of course, there are other terms. So if I look at this, then we can see that f prime of x here, that's actually equal to 1 over h, and then f of x plus h, and then minus f of x. And what am I left with? Well, I have to move all these other terms over on the other side here. So I would get a half. And here, if divided through with h, so this here is actually h. And then f double prime of x, and then minus 1 over 3 factorial h squared. If, yeah, this is, well, let me write it this way. F 3 of x. Okay. So in the notation that we'll be using extensively, we say that this here is the approximation that I wrote, f of x plus h, and then minus f of x. But then there's some kind of error term, and you can see the error term here, it starts by being linear in h. So I'm going to use a what's often called a big O notation. So it means that there's an error here that the to leading order is linear in h. Okay. So that may not be so good. So by the way, often we may call this here, in a bit of a vague manner perhaps, we might call this a two-point formula, because it sort of uses, or it's defined in terms of the function in the point that we're talking about, and then one other point. So if we want to improve on this, does anybody, have you seen other, if you do a numerical derivative, what's a, perhaps a better formula for doing this? Do you know one? What? Yes, so what do you mean by the middle point? Yes, yes. So that's, of course, the next step up, because you realize in sort of quite gentle manner, then this here is not optimal because it's asymmetric, and that's actually what gives us this formula here. So if I instead try to look at f of x plus h here, which is equal to f of h, and then plus this one, and 8 squared over 2 factorial, let me just write f2 of x here, and then plus h3 factorial, f3 of x, and then some other ones. And then I get slightly clever, and believe me, we'll get very clever shortly. If I go a step backwards, then I get the same formula here, but with just h substituted by minus h. So this here is h3 over 3 factorial f3 of x, and so forth. So if I take these two equations here and then subtracting, as you were suggesting, then we can see that f of x plus h here minus f of x minus h. Well, it'll be 2h f prime of x. And then this one will cancel, so the next one up will be plus 2h3, 3 factorial f3 of x. Doesn't that, I think that's right. And then the next one, you can see it's actually going to be 2h5 here over 5 factorial, and then the fifth derivative. So that means that if I do a different formula here, then I could say that f prime of x here, so the conclusion from this is that I can simply do 1 over 2h, and then f of x plus h here, and then minus f of x minus h. Okay, so then I need to realize that I divided by with 2h. So I would claim here that I get minus h3 over 3 factorial. And this is not h3. It should be h2. And then f3 of x. And then minus h4 over 5 factorial. If 5 of x. So this, I'm loosely going to call this a three-point formula, even though you could say, well, I'm actually only using 2 points. That's because I want to call this here a two-point function. So there are three values here, x, x plus h, and x minus h, right? What's interesting here is I get this term, which is our finite difference expression for the derivative. And then I have some term here, which is h squared, and then another term, which is h4. So here you'd say that the error has gone up to h squared compared to this one. Okay, so not to, I don't particularly want to punish you guys, but let's just do it one more time. So you can see the game that I'm playing here. I'm just combining things. So I'm eliminating these error terms systematically, and I'm getting better and better approximations. So maybe if we go over here and then we we look at f of actually maybe well f of x plus 2h, right? So that would be f of x here, and then plus 2h f prime of x, and then plus 2h squared over 2 factorial, then f 2 of x, and then what do I need here? I need, well, 2h to the power 3, and then over 3 factorial, and then f 3 of x, so forth, and then I do f of x minus 2h. You can probably guess that if here I call this point here, or this formula, a three-point formula, then I'm going to be working towards a formula now that I want to call a five-point formula. So I can do this plus 2h squared over 2 factorial f 2 of x, and then minus 2h 3 over 3 factorial f 3 of x. And then the next term would actually be a minus. So I'm going to take these two and then subtract them. And if I look at then f of x plus 2h minus f of x minus 2h, well, then this here will cancel, and then I'll get a 4h f prime of x. This one will cancel, and then I'm going to get twice, this one, so I'll get plus, so I'm going to get plus 2 over 3 factorial, and then h 3 f 3 of x, and then I'll get something else, right? So then now's the point to get clever, because I can, if I compare this to that, so let's call this one star star here, then I can go over and I can say that from equation star that I just had over there, why don't I take f of x plus h and then minus f of x minus h here, which was equal to, what did I just write over there? I wrote it as 2 h here f prime of x, and what was the next term here? Well, it'll be plus 2 over 3 factorial h cubed f 3 of x, and then some other things. Why don't I, you can see if I want to cancel out this term, all I need to do is to take this formula here and then multiply it by 8, right? And then subtract it, then that term disappears. Or the other way around, I could subtract this one from 8 times that one. So the upshot of this here is that if I look now at 8 f of x plus h here, and then minus f of x minus h, and then I subtract off f of x plus 2h, then minus f of x minus 2h, then I get sort of a nice simple formula here because this here is going to be 12 times h, right? This is going to be 16h minus 4h. That's going to give us 12h times f prime of x. And then the error is going to go to the next order in this series, so that'll be plus 0h5. Okay. So that would be this one. I bet you have probably seen before. The five-point formula here, you probably haven't encountered unless you really started to work with this. So let me just write it out. I'm claiming here that f prime of x here is 1 over 12h. What do I have? Well, I have f of x minus 2h. And then minus 8 f of x minus h, and then plus 8 f of x plus h here, and then minus f of x plus 2h. And since I divided over with the 12h, then the error is now h4. Okay, so amusingly, if you think about it, then there's some kind of numerology here, because these formulas, it's just a combination of the different points that I'm looking at. In here is, you know, my 2 points here, and or 3 points there, and my 5 points here, and then with some well-chosen integer coefficients that we could probably have argued would have to be that way, because it's all coming out of a Taylor expansion. Okay, so at this point, we're getting bored, and I'm not going to do the seven-point formula for you. But let's keep this one on the blackboard, because now let's think about doing this here in a more systematic way. And the systematic way of doing this it's called Richardson extrapolation. So what I'm going to try to convince you is that there's a very simple way to automate this procedure, and I kind of like it because it's quite general and actually doesn't rely on the fact that we're talking about differentiation at all. The only thing it relies on is the fact that we have some knowledge of the error terms. So what we learn from this is that in general here, what I'm actually doing is I'm starting with some expression for the derivative, which is just 1 over 2h, and then f of x plus h, and then f of x minus h. And then so that's this formula here. And then I'm going to just quite generally say that there's some coefficient in front of an h squared term, and then some coefficient here in front of an h4 term, and so forth. So the coefficients a2 here, they of course depend on the function that I'm looking at, and they may also of course depend on the point that I'm at. But there's no dependence on h in the coefficients for sort of well, that's what we mean when we write this, right? And then The other observation that you do here is that this is only even powers of h. Right? So I'm looking at some expression, and I know that it has a correction term, which is some polynomial with only even powers. And what we want to do here is that we now want to systematically eliminate all these errors up to any order that you desire. And that was sort of what we were on the way of doing here, but I'm going to do it in a slightly more general way so we can use exactly the same technique for eliminating errors coming from integration. So I'm going to say that this function here, or this expression, let's call it that, I'm going to call it phi of h. And then I have an 8, 2, h squared, and then plus a 4, h 4. Okay. So, so far, so good. So, what do I want to do now? Well, let me first write phi of h. Well, it's simply going to be f prime of x here, and then minus a 2 h 2 minus a 4 h 4, and then some other things. And then I'm going to look at that function here, and then I'll evaluate it for an argument which is not h, but h over 2. So that'll again be f prime of x here, but then I get minus a 2 here, and then here I get h over 2 squared, and then minus a over 4 h over 2 to the power 4, and so forth. And then we're going to do this little trick that led us to this formula here, but I can do it in sort of a slightly more general way. So I want to eliminate this term, and you can see the coefficient here is just a quarter of what it is up there, right? So all I have to do is I simply have to take four times phi of h over 2 here, and then I subtract off phi of h from it. If I do this, then you can see that the coefficient that I'm looking for would have a coefficient of 3 there, so why don't I divide through with 3? So if I do this, let me write this again here in a slightly different way. I'm going to write it as phi of h over 2, and then plus a third here of phi of h over 2, and then minus phi of h. And that is going to be f prime of x here, and then I'll actually get, if you work out the remaining coefficients, then I'm going to get a quarter here, a 4, and then h 4, and then the next one you can work out is just going to be plus 5 over 16, a 6, h 6. Okay, so then I can just do this again, right? So what I'm proposing to do here is what we want to do the systematic way of doing this is I want to define something here, and let's call it D of 0, 0 here. And that's just going to be precisely what we had before. This is just going to be phi of h here. So it'll be this one. So it'll be f prime of x, and then minus a2 h2 here, and then minus a6 h6, and then we continue. Then I have another one where I call d10, and this here is phi of h over 2, and it's the one we wrote right below it here. So let's call this one like this, h over 2 squared, and then minus, oh, sorry, this here is h4, h4, and then h over 2 to the power 4, and then we continue. Okay, but I'm going to do this once again. So I'm going to do d20 and then up to dn0. And dn0, it'll have phi and then h over 2n. So the interval here has been cut down by a power of 2n. And this here is, of course, phi over h 2 squared. So that'll be 4 prime of x here, and then minus h over 2, h over 4 squared, minus a 4, h over 4 squared. Now, here I just showed you that if I combined what I'm now calling d0, 0 and d1, 0, I could eliminate this term by simply adding them this way. But if I go down and look at these two lines, then you can see that the difference between that coefficient and that coefficient is again just a power of, or it's just again just a factor of 4. And that simply comes from the fact that we're dividing each time by an additional factor of 2. So the same formula here that I had would actually, I can use this on any two adjacent entries in this table. So I can combine these, and I can do this according to the formula that I had over here. So this would be d11 here, and that would be, well, just what I wrote there. It would be phi here of h over 2, and then plus a third here of phi of h over 2, and then minus phi of h. I can do the same thing here, but all I have to do is I have to repeat this formula where I've decreased the interval by a factor of 2. So we're going to call this d21, and that would just be phi of h over 4 here, and then plus a third of phi of h over 4, and then minus phi of h over 2. I'm just repeating this formula here on every adjacent pair of lines. Okay, so if you do this, then I get another column in this table here. So I got the first column here, and then I get another column in the table, and that column here, what would have been the equivalent of this error term is now always gone. The h squared term is missing. So actually, if we write it out very explicitly, you can see that what I call d11 here is just f prime of x, and then plus a quarter here, a4, h4, and then plus 5 over 16, a6, h6. And then what I call d21, it's going to be exactly the same expression, but h will be replaced by h over 2. So this here is f prime of x, and then plus a quarter, and then a4, h over 2 to the power 4, plus 5 over 16, a6, and then h over 2 to the power 6. And then, of course, this continues. And we can do this down to dn1. Right, so here we started with 0, 0, but the next column in the table, I have one less row, so I'm trying to build up a triangle of data. So now things are not very complicated. You can see I can do precisely what I did here, except for when I took 4 times this row and subtracted that. Here I'm going to have to do something that's a little bit cleverer, because instead of multiplying by 4, I'm actually going to have to multiply by 2 to the power 4, right? So here you can see that in order to eliminate this, I have to multiply by 2 to the power 4. Over here, when I did this, I multiplied by, so here I multiplied by 4. And then I get very innovative, because I'm going to write 2 to the power 4 as 4 squared. And so all I have to do now is when I want to get now from this column here and then over to the next column where the H4 term here will be gone, then I'm going to take the n minus 1 here of 1. So I'm just combining any of them here, and then minus... No, actually, let me do it the other way around. I'm going to take 2 to the power 4 here, and then dn1 here, and then I'm going to subtract off dn minus 1, 1, right? So I take 2 to the 4, d2, 1, and then I subtract off the previous line here. That's going to end up being something here, which is 4 squared now, minus 1 times f prime of x. And then I'm going to have an error term, which is h6. Okay, so when I look at this, you can see that I want to now define the next column. So I say that dn in the second column, if this here was column 0, this here was column 1, and now I'm going to column number 2 here, then this would be dn 1 here, and then plus 1 over 4 squared, then dn 1 here, and then minus dn minus 1. Okay. So if you compare this formula to what I wrote here, for instance, you can see that the only difference is here there's a 1 over 4 squared minus 1, and here I have 1 over 4 minus 1. So I hope it's not a sort of a gigantic leap of faith to see that this here is actually nothing but that. So in general, I would just have to define the mth column in terms of the preceding one, where I have dn and then m minus 1 and then plus 1 over 4 to the power m minus 1 and then dn m minus 1 and then minus dn minus 1 m minus 1. Right? So it looks like I got myself involved in doing a horrible mess of cancellations, but when you look at them from sort of a systematic point of view, then all we have to do is start with a table where we fill up the first column, and then I can go, I can combine these in, and I get d11. These, when I combine them, I get d21, and this here would be dn1. The error term here, well, we would say that the, well, that's maybe, we could say here, we would have some error term, which would be of the order h to the power 2n and then squared. That is now gone, so this here goes to h over 2n to the power 4. And then when I combine them again, then I go to d22, and this one would be d32, and then down to d2, and one more power is gone. So each time I go out one column in this table. And then, of course, the last one you end up with here is dnn. And so if you look in the original power series, that we would, each time you go out one column, then we're eliminating one term here. So we go boom, 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 boom. And that's really powerful. And all you have to do is just a simple combination. When I get this one simply by combining these two in a trivial way. So roughly, you would be probably getting a digit of 2 in precision whenever you go between a column here. So this is actually quite general, because it doesn't really depend on anything with differentiation or whatnot. all we needed to know was that the error terms were only defined in terms of these positive powers, and the coefficients here were benign. There wasn't anything funny going on, and that's trivial when we look at these Taylor expansions, but I can do it in other ways. This here is neat, and then and it's very easy to do. Then what I wanted to show you that you can actually take this reasonably far here, so but I just wanted to go back and then see the relation to this formula here and how it would come out of what we have here. So for the tutorial this afternoon, you're actually going to build up a table like this, not when you're differentiating, but when you're doing an integral. It'll work magically. So if we look here at D11, right? Then we were saying that the derivative here, it was equal to phi of h over 2 here, and then plus a third here of phi of h over 2 minus phi of h. Okay, so this here is 1 over h, and then f of x plus h over 2 here, and then minus f of x minus h over 2. So that was my first term, and then I do it again here. I add plus a third, and then 1 over h, f of x plus h over 2 minus f of x minus h over 2. With a parenthesis here, and then I need to subtract off 1 over 2h, and then f of x plus h minus f of x minus h. And then I end this one here. So if I look at this and I substitute h here by 2h, in other words, whenever I here encounter h, then I just put in 2h instead, then you actually see that f prime here of x, it's simply 1 over 12 times h, and then 8 times f of x plus h, and then minus 8 times f of x minus h, and then plus f of x plus 2h minus f of x minus 2h. And then I have some error here, which is h4. If we are lucky, then it's the same formula that I wrote over there. So another way of thinking about the table, if we start here with 0, 0, and then 1, 0, and we go to 1, 1, then here we would be starting with some three-point formula. Then this here would give us a five-point formula. And then all the remaining entries here, or the remaining columns, would then be the seven-point formula that we gave up on calculating, and then so forth. So this little trick here, when I'm combining that, it automatically generates all these higher order approximations, but it's doing it sort of a clever way, because I'm progressively decreasing. Right, so if you think about the points, they would be at h, and then h over 2, h over 4, and so forth. So they would be distributed in a slightly different way. Hence, once I look at it, I have to do this little transformation to recover the original formula. But I kind of like to think about what you're actually doing is nothing more than that. It's just a systematic way of getting all these higher approximations to whatever it is that you're trying to look at. Do you see what's going on here? Right. So you can. We're going to try this for the tutorial. So now. Once we've done the first derivative, then let's just do the second derivative. Actually, maybe let's leave this one, d and m here. Let's just leave that once here. So if I want to look here at the second derivative, then, well, I would be looking at f of x plus h, which would be f of x, and then plus f prime of x, and then plus h squared over 2 factorial f2 of x, and then plus 3 factorial f3 of x, so forth. And then I continue, so I get something like this when I evaluate it in f of x minus h. So if we're after not the first derivative but the second derivative, then we want to add them. So let's try adding them. If I do that, then I get f of x plus h, and then plus f of x minus h here. And I'm just going to move over the minus 2 f of x here. And then I have some h squared here, f2 of x. And then plus 2 over 4 factorial. If I'm adding them up, then you can see that all these powers will drop out. So the next one I get is actually going to be the coming from the fourth derivative. So I'll get an h4 here, f4 of x. And then, of course, the next one is going to be it's going to be the sixth derivative. So if I divide over here by 1 over h squared, then I have f of x plus h plus f of x minus h minus 2 f of x. And that's equal to f2 of x. And then plus 2 over 4 factorial h2 f4 of x, and then plus 2 over 6 factorial f6 of x. And then you realize that we have seen this before. So I can look at this, and I'm not going to call it phi here, but maybe let's call it psi of h here. That's equal to what we want here. And then I have some a2 h2 plus a4 h4. Here I missed the h4. And then, of course, some A6, H6. Okay, so this here is exactly the same form that we had for the first derivative, and I can just, I can do this Richardson again. All I would have to do is that the first column in my table, I would have to fill it up with psi of h here instead of phi of h. And everything works fine. So actually, once you know this recursion relation, I can just at my heart's desire try to generate expressions for these derivatives. And so let me just get you one example here. So I can look at so if I can use this to immediately get a 5-point formula without thinking, because I can just look at D11, which should be equal to psi here of h over 2, and then plus a third of psi of h over 2 minus psi of h here. And then I do what I did before. I set h over into 2h, and then you get an expression here, which is 1 over 12 h squared. Magically, you get the same. So I get for f2 here of x should be 1 over 12 here, and then f of x plus h with a 16 in front of it, a 16 of f of minus h here, and then minus 30 f of x, and then minus f of x plus 2h, and then minus f of x minus 2h. So all these formulas here, I can just crank them out. And of course, if I build up the table here, then I get all of them. Okay, so what we want to do now is we're going to say that for the time being, this is probably going to be sufficient for figuring out how we want to do a derivative. But let's now look at doing an integral. Yes. Well, for the derivatives, it's a little bit up to you. It's perhaps more. We're going to do exactly the same thing for the integral, and I would claim that if you just use your basic method, then boosting it with this Romberg integration, you can actually do that with almost no cost. And whenever you do that, then you eliminate sort of one power in the error term here. But if you're looking at the derivatives, it's of course a tricky question, because it depends on the actual form of the function and what precision you would need to evaluate these derivatives to the. Well, if you're just looking at the second derivative, you would, in most cases, use the 3-point formula. And if you want to do better, you go to this 5-point formula here. But let me show you how it works for the integration, and then we can so let's see how we can integrate something. So I'm gonna talk about the very first thing that you hear by or do when you look at integration, and it's called the trapezoidal rule here, because if we look at one interval here from x and then to x plus h, well, actually let's call them differently. Let's call them a here and b. And then I have f of a here and f of b. Then the function might be doing a lot of things here between the points a and b, but if we want to get something that is really, really simple here, then I'm just going to approximate the function basically by a straight line, hence the name trapezoidal. When I do this, I would say that the integral that comes from this, I can get that by simply evaluating the function in f of a and f of b, dividing by 2 here, right? That would give me this. So I'm just looking at the area of this little square here, and that would just be the mean point here, and then multiplied by h. So that would be a good approximation if I just have a single interval. The only little caveat when we do this, suppose that I now divide the interval from a to b here into two subdivisions here. So I have a, b, but I assume that I have time to also evaluate it here in c. So maybe I'm going to try to draw the same function. Maybe I'll do something like this. And then, of course, I can just reuse this formula here that I had for one interval. I can do this on these two adjacent intervals here, right? So that means that the I here, we would say that it should actually be given by f of a here plus f of c over 2, and then plus f of c plus f of b over 2 here. And then we want to multiply this here. So let me call this distance here, let me call it h prime, right? So I'm going to multiply this by h prime. Now, what you see here is that this is just h prime, and then I get f a over 2, then plus f of c, and then plus f b over 2. So these integration formulas, when we write them, we say that the integral from a to b of f of x dx discretely here, I'm going to say that I can write them as a sum here from I equal to 2 to n minus 1 of f of xi. And that would be all the interior points, but somehow the two end points here in a and b, we have to treat them separately. So I get plus a half here of f of a plus f of b. And then I take this whole mess, and then I multiplied by the interval h. So you may be thinking that I could just evaluate the function here in the discrete points and then multiply by the spacing. That would sort of be correct, except for you would have a slight error that would be coming from the two endpoints. So in sort of a very gentle manner here, I can say that all these formulas that we're going to see a couple of them at least, when I write this the general form here, we say that a to b here of f of x dx, we're going to approximate it with sum over x of I here, and then some weights. And the trapezoidal, actually, let me put in an h here. So the trapezoidal rule here, that was that the weights here, they were a half, then 1, 1, 1, 1, and then the last one was a half, right? So the now there are going to be some other formulas that we'll show in a little while. And what you'll see is that they'll be exactly like this, but in magical manners, instead of having all ones in the interior, then we will have slightly different weights. And actually, in sort of interesting patterns. But before we go, maybe we'll do that tomorrow morning. But let's look here at the error. And the error here when I use this trapezoidal rule, it actually gives me the integral here, and then I have something, a2 h2 here, a4 h4 plus a6 a6, and this is actually something that you can prove coming out of what's called the Euler-Maclaurin formula. And there's sort of a lot of interesting theory, and this can be related to Bernoulli numbers and so forth, but we're not going to do here, going to talk about that here. What we're going to observe is just that, oops, or to quote my two-year-old daughter, oopsie, this would be exactly of the form we had before, right? So we've seen this before. So how about when we do an integral, how about if we try to do precisely what we did before when we talked about integration, and that's sometimes called Romberg integration. So I wanna define, now I'm not gonna call it D, for it's not really a derivative, but I'm gonna call it R 0 0 here, and that would just be the very simplest thing I could do here. I would just be evaluating or approximating the integral simply by evaluating the function at the two endpoints. And summing them up, dividing by 2, and then multiplying by the length of the interval. So if I look here at the number of intervals that I have here, it's 2 to the power 0, and it's equal to 1. And then I do the next one. I do 1 additional point in the middle, and I get 2 intervals here. And so we would evaluate this using the trapezoidal rule, which is just that one, right? And then I can of course take this one all the way down to n of 0, and in that case I would have a number of intervals here. Oh, it's just 2 to the power n, right? So you get the idea. I do the trapezoidal integration. So now I claimed that there was almost no overhead in doing this. And so let me just show you that indeed that was right here. What I want to claim here is that you could do maybe 1,024 points to get a good estimate of the integral just using the trapezoidal rule here. But what I'm telling you is that when you calculated this Rn0 here, then all Rm here, 0 with m less than n here, are implicitly calculated in doing that. In other words, I can fill out this whole first column here from 0 to n without doing any more work than I would have done by calculating the last entry explicitly. And so then the only little added overhead here is I need then to get the other columns, but you can see that's just a few additions. So let me just show you here. What I want to do is that I want to fix here h, and let's say that h is equal to b minus a here over 2n. And then I'm going to call c here. I'm going to call that h over 2. And then f of a plus f of b. And then I'm going to say that Rn of 0, which was the last entry here, well, it's just h, and then a sum here from I equal 1 to 2 to the power n minus 1 of f of a plus ih, and then plus c. Okay, that was our expression coming from the trapezoidal rule. Now, if I compare it to Rn minus 1 of 0, then h would be twice what it was there, and I would be summing over half the number of points. So I should be going from j equal 1 to 2 to the power n minus 1 minus 1. And then f of a here, and then 2j times h, and then plus c. And then, of course, you can see that in this sum, or half the points are just the sum that I previously calculated. So when I look at this, I can see here that our n of 0 here, it's simply equal to a half our n minus 1 of 0, and then plus our n of 0 here, and then minus a half of n minus 1 of 0. That's a trivial identity, but I'm now going to show you that this thing here is very simple to calculate. And so you can see here that our n of 0 and then minus a half here of our n minus 1 of 0, you can quickly convince yourself that this is just h. And then, so it's all the points in this sum that weren't here. So it's just a sum here from k equal to 1, and then 2n minus 1. And then f of a, and then plus 2k minus 1 times h. Right? So in other words, I can now simply get this one here by taking half the previous one and then add in the number of points that I missed. So the general formula here is it's just that we have our n of 0 here. It's equal to a half of n minus 1 of 0. And then plus h here, and then a sum here from k equal to 1, and then 2 to the power n minus 1 of a of a plus 2k minus 1 times h, right? And so using this one, I can start here and then get R1, R2, up to Rn. And I would claim that I can do that without any more work than calculating the last line directly. And then I would just step out now. So I would combine these one to get R1, 1, and so forth. Yes? Ah, the eternal question. What I wrote on the blackboard is, of course, always correct. So this here is a 2 to the power n minus 1, because I need half the points that I had up here, right? So this is a 2 to the power n minus 1. I actually tried to write it correctly. And this is 2 to the power n minus 1 minus 1. Okay, okay. And so you can see that here, again, what I'm saying is that I have to do a sum over only half the points, and that would mean that this here has to be 2 to the power n minus 1. And so I actually think it is correct, right?
Does it correspond to parabolic approximations, to the interval approximations?
No. So we're going to do that tomorrow, and that goes by the name of Simpson's rule, and then you can actually take that quite far, and it's going to lead you to something that we call Gaussian quadrature. But the error terms that you get from that are, the structure of the error terms is slightly different. So this here is, in my opinion, although it'll look the same, but I would say that it's different.
So the it's an extrapolation of what?
Well, the next term would mean that I told you that the so the original error term, I had the desired integral, and then plus 8, 2, h2, and then plus 8, 4, h4. And each time you go one column out, this disappeared. Then the next one. So it's very powerful. And you can, so you, for the tutorial this afternoon, you're going to try it. And the table, you know, you're not going to take in here to 1024. Maybe you're just going to, I think the suggestion is that you take in to the 10 or 8 maybe. And then the last approximation here, that would be R88. But that would mean that when I make it out to this one, which you can see, it would just be an addition of a few numbers to get out to that. It's not very expensive to do that. I would have eliminated, well, let's calculate. I would have eliminated H2, H4, all the way up to H to the power 16. In order to actually appreciate how precise your results are going to be, you likely have to do it in this, to do it in quadruple precision, but we could do that last year, but it's apparently not available on the compiler that you have there. But the results actually get truly amazingly precise. So you just go chuck, 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 order by order, and just cancel the error terms, and all you have to do is just apply this simple little transformation. And I'm not going to say any more today. Are there questions? Yes.
Does this technique run into problems if you have a function which is whose period is the same as your smallest interval? Or some multiple of that?
Well, inherently, whenever you discretize, if you do something on the computer, you're always considering discrete functions. And, well, you know, problems can arise in different cases. Here, I don't think, you know, it depends a little bit on what you would be. I suppose you could get really, really unlucky and get something strange out of it, but if you were to increase n, then in principle everything should be fine. I can't really see that there would be a problem occurring from that perspective. Right? So I hope I convinced you that if you just do, so I'm assuming that just doing summing a function in some discrete points and multiplying by the lattice spacing, you probably tried doing that for something. And what I hope to convince you is that you should always remember that the two endpoints, they have to count for half of what the other points are. And then the only little wrinkle is that when you do this, if you're clever about what you actually did, you can get a considerable amount of extra precision with almost no work. And that's called Romberg integration. And again, all we needed to know was that the error terms had this particular form. Now, if it happens that your expression for the integration has an odd power in there, then you're going to have to do something else. That's not to say that you couldn't invent other ways of doing this. Well, if you tried the Shanks transformation for the tutorial yesterday, you can see that the idea is vaguely familiar, that you know something or assume something about the errors, and then you cancel them out. Did you all? Yes?
Figure out more of these basic tools for doing numerical stuff, or is it so that everything is like the tools are all laid down and now we're just using?
So this year's, of course, I don't know when Richardson was invented. It's probably not that long time ago. What I'm going to show you tomorrow is that you can get clever about this and do what's called Gaussian quadrature. And what you do there is that you say, instead of sampling here at discrete points, let me allow myself to choose them at will. And when I do that, then I can relate it to the functions or the special functions to actually do something that's very, very clever.
all that stuff you can actually look up. There are tables of how to do this in Gradstein and Risnik, and you can just, I have some of them somewhere. You just pull out the book and see how this was all worked out a long time ago. The interest in today in doing this is probably to do integrals with Monte Carlo integration. And that's, so you might not know this, but if you go into high-energy physics or other branches of physics, the integrals, unfortunately, are not one-dimensional. But they would be 26-dimensional. Let's not assume superstring theory or whatever, so let's just say 27-dimensional, something like this. You can see that if you can allow yourself to do 1,024 point in one dimension, now just imagine that the integral would be 27-dimensional, then everything falls through. You can't allow yourself more than probably 2 points in any dimension. And so doing high-dimensional integrals in a reliable manner is technically very demanding. So there's a lot of techniques that are being developed for doing sometimes what's called stratified sampling in the, with Monte Carlo techniques and all kinds of strange things. The precision, of course, once you switch over to a Monte Carlo techniques, then the precision drops and you can't do these neat tricks here. I'd like to tell you about this Romberg integration because you are often confronted with cases where you know something about the error terms, and then you can just say, oh, well, I knew how to do this, and maybe I can do the same techniques. For instance, you may be doing calculations where you're doing calculations on a finite system. And then there's what's called a theory of finite size scaling. It will say that there's some basic assumptions about how the error term should be behaving. And the assumption is that it might be some exponential in minus L over some correlation length, maybe. But the theory of finite size scaling will tell you something about the error terms, and then maybe you could get clever and cancel them out basically using the same techniques here. But all those cases, you would have to work them out by on your own. It's not Romberg here. Yeah, you know, it's been done before. Anything you ever will learn in a course has been done before, per definition, right? It's the sad truth. We can't teach you anything interesting. The interesting stuff you have to do on your own, right? I always wonder how they. I'm not going to go off the deep end. Let's go and have lunch if there are no other questions. No? You just sound asleep by now. Differentiation. Okay, yeah.
Oh, no.